It's the Great Debates.
Is it ever?
Yes.
Is it ever? Let's go right into it.
It's Longju. We've got a lot to get to today. Yeah, I'm going to get us right into a micro debate with Steve Healy taking the pro. Here it is. Steve, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
The topic up for debate. If you listened to an entire audiobook, you can say that you read it.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. We live in a world that doesn't have time to be strictly literal all the time. If you've consumed all of the literary matter in an audiobook, for shorthand, you can say you read it. It saves the time of saying, I didn't read it, but I listened to the entire unabridged audiobook. It's not necessary. We don't need that in our conversation. Just say you read it, and then we can get down to talking about the book, which is what's interesting and where ideas are going to form and change and be engaged with.
Of course, we have time to be literal. We have to be literal. Words are important, and you can't be, you know, wishy-washy about the definitions of some words and not other ones. And the reason that we're able to have a great debate every week is because you and I agree on the meaning of all the words that we're using. I would also argue, Healy, that you do have time to say, I listened to it. You're presuming a context wherein someone says, hey, did you read The Handmaid's Tale or whatever, pick your book? And someone goes, well, even in that context, so it's very easy to go, well, I listened to it. It takes less than a second to do that and make a small correction. The person goes, okay, cool. I had a question about the end, whatever. But also that the other like possible circumstance here, one of many other possible circumstances, that someone is like just presentationally someone going like, I read Moby Dick. And if you do that and you only listen to the audiobook, I do think that there's like a lie there. I think it's minor, but I think that you're absolutely lying. And I think the truth is important now more than ever, if you want to be ridiculous about it. And I think that like people should be held to the standard of the meaning of words. And if we don't have that, then like the whole world collapses. That's sort of how like ideas are built and agreed upon. Healy?
I'm not too worried about the whole world collapsing over this issue.
I'm not thinking... No, Healy, not the issue, not the issue of reading a book, but whether words have consistent meaning or not.
What this debate is really about is not whether words have consistent meaning or about. What this debate is about is choice. Should you have the choice to shorthand information in order to speed up conversation?
You know what's so fascinating, Healy, is that what you're doing right now is using the literal...
Dave, you're interrupting me in a very rude way. This is what I get criticized by listeners for doing to you.
Go ahead.
In Dave's example that he gave where the person says, you know, well, I didn't read it, but I listened to the entire audiobook. That is... All that's happened there is a little conversational eddy that was meaningless. And even in Dave's example, the other person said, cool, they move on. Look, if you choose to be strict with how you define whether you read or listened to the entire audiobook, I think that's totally fine. You can make that choice. But what we're talking about is whether you can make the other choice to sort of shorthand and say, I read Moby Dick, meaning you listened to the entire audiobook, because you are making a calculation that we're going to move on to talking about Moby Dick. You have the information of Moby Dick, the experience of having consumed Moby Dick. It's perfectly fine for you to choose to say, yeah, I read it, and keep the conversation flowing. What's important about conversation is flow, and to stall it out, to stagnate it with Dave's kind of legalistic reasoning. Of course, I agree that words are important. I love reading. I love words. But in the conversational pacing, you're allowed to make the choice of substituting read for having listened to the entire
audiobook. Healy, I only have 40 seconds. You've been talking for 2 minutes and it was boring. Here's what you did. You originally said that that of course you should be able to do it. And then you argued that we don't have to be literal all the time. Then you went back to the exact words of the topic, which is that you can say you read the book, and you argue that people should have choice. And of course they should. That's why words are important. That's why being literal is important. But the other thing, the more important thing I want to argue, is that of course you can say that you read the book if you only listen to it, but you could also say, I ate the book if you listen to it. You could also say, I threw the book out the window if you listen to it. You have the choice to say something incorrect, but obviously what we're debating is not whether someone can actually do that, but whether someone should do that or do that with impunity. And I argue, no, you can't just say, I read the book if you listen to it, for the same reason that you can't say, I ate Moby Dick when all you did was listen to it. Because it's wrong.
Deans.
This was a very solid debate.
I'll say. Woo!
Excellent performances on both sides. I'll tell you what convinced me was the lie argument of Davis.
That's right.
And Heels, it was just so close. But it nags at me. I want to be like, yeah, the conversational flow is more important. I certainly want to say that I read an audiobook.
Yeah.
But when you say it,
that's right.
There's something in the back of your mind nagging, like, I haven't really represented what happened.
Actually, outside of the debate, I think that you do, you should have to say, I listened to it.
Yeah.
It's worth the pause in the conversation.
My actual feelings about this are that it is very context
totally.
And
absolutely.
So if you're in a group of people and someone says, like, did everybody here read Underground Railroad?
Yeah,
it's okay to go like, yeah, let's move on with the conversation. Yeah,
totally.
Even if
agree.
You listen to
completely
it.
Completely agree. Mm-hmm. Are we in host chat or are we still sort of debating?
No, really, you know the answer to that, buddy.
Episode, let's get right into host chat.
So I have a very controversial thing to throw out there. I think that I've discovered the greatest disparity in smell goodness to not wanting the actual item. I'm terrified that Medina is going to wildly disagree. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think smells amazing. And when you smell it, it's an awesome smell every time, but you don't actually really want it that much.
Wait, when you say want it, what do you mean? Consume
like,
it? Eat it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a consumable.
Okay.
It's waffles.
Wow.
The smell of waffles.
What are you talking
always
about?
So great. You always like love that smell, but I don't think you really want waffles that much.
Mm. What is going on in your head? It's just so weird to me. Like, first of all, waffles to me, they don't smell that much better than like French toast or pancakes.
Uh-huh.
And they're also delicious. Like, what's wrong with fresh baked waffles?
You know where we should do a live debate? At the center of New England, the Yankee Candle Company headquarters. I think it's in Deerfield.
It makes too much sense. We have to do a live debate at the Yankee Candle headquarters in Deerfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
When can we get scheduled out there?
Healy, you're off your rocker today.
I'm having fun.
That was your big thing for host chat, talking about disparity of smell and taste of waffles.
And producer Mark is just informing us here that the Yankee Candle does in fact make Belgian waffle scented candles. Of course they do.
Well, there you go.
What do you think the average weight of the person who buys the Belgian waffle scented candle is?
I'm going to take your answer seriously.
Thank you.
Since you're trying to disparage people. I think that most candle consumers are female, and I think that most of them, people who buy Yankee candles, are like relatively healthy and are either interested in aromatherapy or trying to improve their lives by putting pleasant scents in their home. So I think it's like 125 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
You're insane if you think it's less than 150.
Ooh, I think it's probably 143.
Thank you.
Okay.
A little more reasonable.
Slight range of answers. If you work at the Yankee Candle Company, you have access to this data. Please drop us a line, greatdebates69 at Gmail. Or at,
if you could just weigh all your customers.
If you could just go ahead and weigh all your customers of Belgian waffle candles. And again, we are looking for an average, not the median. We're looking for the actual average.
When we're
it's
there,
very important.
Maybe we can install
that's
a scale.
That's a great idea. That's
part of
that's a great idea. Well, all right. Well, this is a good host chat.
Very, very silly host chat.
I mean, I'm trying to take the issue as seriously as I can, and I'm sticking. I think it's lower than you think it is.
Well, look, we didn't come here to talk about the weight.
Either sweat or tears.
It's dripping tears. I'm crying.
Are you
from
serious?
Laughing.
Yes.
You never know what is going to bring tears of laughter to the eyes of an executive, co-executive producer on the best
it's,
cable premium
it's
cable
Dave's essence shows. To insist on disputing the weight of Yankee Candle customers.
I wasn't disputing. You asked the question. I thought it'd be interesting to actually... Whatever.
Listen, we didn't come here to talk about weight of candle purchasers.
Do you have any other... nominees for scent to consumption desire disparity.
Right. Were you thinking, oh, that waffles, of course, like, it's better than the thing that I used to think.
I was coming across a lot of times the smell of waffles in Japan where they have a lot of like waffle shops.
Oh,
and I was like, smells amazing.
Yeah.
Don't really want it.
Mm-hmm. But I assume we should be limiting this conversation to actual consumable items. Because
for
again,
me,
like a tree smells great. A lot of trees
are
flowering.
We're talking food.
Okay.
For me, now I love to consume this every day throughout the day. But for me, the largest disparity in the quality of the smell and the, and really the actual taste is coffee.
I was going to say, man, it smells amazing, but I can't even drink black coffee.
It doesn't taste that great. I mean, it, if you bitter, really get gross. One of the best coffees in the world, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's some notes in there and whatever. But, like, it doesn't taste as good as it smells, let's be real.
It's great. Certainly a larger disparity than waffles. Which both taste or smell pretty good, but not extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And but I would taste pretty good. You want coffee more than you want waffles.
Absolutely. And it tastes worse. Mm. Healy, do you agree with us?
I was just trying to start a conversation. Well, and you did
You sure did, man.
I bet the Great Debates Junior folks out there are probably going to take issue with the way we're ragging on waffles.
I think you're right. Also, the Leslie Knopes of the world would have none of that. Mm.
Okay, I'd like to move us to the next phase of the program, if I could. We're going to introduce a new form of debate today. For the first time ever, we're going to attempt the very dangerous double-barreled debate. If you can take a step with this analogy with me here, and imagine that our standard debate, where there's a topic, is a single-barrel debate. A double-barrel debate is one where we debate two topics at the same time.
What a test of the debater's skill.
Now, there's going to be some jumping around. Yeah, you're going to have to keep track of arguments. Like, I think I have a harder job in this debate than I usually do.
And there's no, we just jump back and forth. You got to just keep both balls in the air kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And so, your opponent can tack you either on the left or the right, and you've got to duck and move accordingly.
Wow, this is weird.
I'm just going to get us going because I'm excited to see what happens.
Great.
First ever double barrel debate. Healy taking the pro on both.
Okay. Oh, that's easy. Okay, that's good. Easy. I like that. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
The two topics are crying feels good.
Okay.
And pretzels are a top five snack.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Crying is an emotional release. It gets something out of you, and emotional releases, catharsis, is always good. That's why we seek out movies to cry at and emotional experiences in film, because it feels good to let that out. It's a good feeling of release. Pretzels are up there with potato chips and popcorn in the pantheon of great snacks. No one is ever sad when somebody brings out a bowl of pretzels. There's also like such a range of pretzel. Remember, there's the soft pretzel that you can dip in mustard. There's just the regular old rolled gold solid pretzel. Given the range of pretzel types, I think you have to put it in the top five.
Crying doesn't feel good. Crying is a painful experience. And the main mistake that you're going to make here that you've already made is the idea that it's a release, that it's somehow cathartic, or that it feels good because you feel better once you've cried. And what I would argue is that you most often, when you cry, you still feel bad after you've cried, but you just feel a little less bad. And I would also, if that makes sense, so basically what I'm saying is like you're going through something difficult and then you finally reach an emotional, release point and you cry and, you sort of collect yourself and someone says, do you feel better? You say, yeah, I do feel better. But usually you still feel bad. It doesn't feel good to cry just because you feel a little bit better. Also, the act of crying itself is painful. You have hot tears coming out. Your eyes get actual... I, by the way, cry often not from any emotional reasons, but just from going outside. I have overactive tear ducts. And I get... When the wind blows in my eyes, I start crying and it hurts, man. It's like it burns the sides of your eyes and it's... you get that sort of like salty feeling. Potato chips. Popcorn. Ice cream. Fritos. Doritos. Peanuts. Nobody's sad when you bring out a bowl of pretzels. Are you crazy? If you have a Super Bowl party, nachos. Obviously. If you have a Super Bowl party and all you do is put a bowl of pretzels in front of a group of people, they're going to go like, do you have anything else? Pretzels? Are you kidding me? They're so boring. It's like the last possible option for a good snack. It's only salty. And by the way, the salt has nothing to do with the pretzel itself. That's only a factor of how much salt you're putting on the pretzel. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, a pretzel is just very bland cooked bread. And then you put as much salt on it. Well, you could do that with anything.
I also have overactive tear ducts. I tear up all the time, as we discovered during host chat. But what you're losing sight of is we need to zero in on the physical act of crying. That is a release, and it is good. It is satisfying. Now,
it's like having diarrhea or something. Like, that's a release, but that doesn't feel good.
Because of the circumstances that caused you to cry, but the actual physical crying is something that your body needs to express. And by the way, good poo is good.
Well, diarrhea is not a really good poo, man. What's wrong with your anus? That's fucking
diarrhea
insane.
Is bad. Now, ice cream is not a snack. I'll give you that. Nachos are a great snack,
absolutely.
But the difficulty of preparation takes them out of the top five. I'm sorry.
Snack. You buy a bag of Tostitos with or without salsa, everyone's happier than if you put a bag of what's your favorite brand of pretzels? Hard Times or whatever it's called pretzels out there? Are you kidding me?
You live in the
Nobody
American
wants
Southwest.
That.
You're under, your personal taste
live
is
in the
getting
American
in the way.
Southwest.
You're underestimating the popularity of the pretzel nationwide. I'm sorry, like, you don't like pretzels that much. Cool. There's still a top five snack.
Can I tell you something? The fact of the matter is that I like pretzels way more than the average person, and I especially
You have no way to know that. Baseless claim.
Healy, I'm one of the few people who goes to the supermarket and buys pretzels, and I look every time.
One of the few people? They stock them in the supermarket. They're like half a shelf.
I'm always
one of the
for
few people.
Extra, you know what I mean? Relatively few.
A new territory of making up wild claims.
Not few, but relatively few compared to potato chips, popcorn, nachos, Doritos. Doritos are the most popular snack in America, bar none.
We need to return
that's
to
four
diarrhea.
Right there. That's four right there.
I
Take
feel
your
like,
pick
I feel
for
like the
any
prevailing
other
prevailing image that's in this debate is Dave bringing up diarrhea, which I'm sorry that he did, but the fact is that like crying is in a different category entirely than diarrhea, because nobody seeks out experiences that give them diarrhea. People deliberately watch Field of Dreams or whatever because they know that they're going to get that crying release. It's good and healthy and positive for them.
I mean, Taco Bell is the most popular franchise, one of the most popular franchises in America. If people aren't seeking that out and having, and like yet knowing the consequences, I would argue that like diarrhea is pretty similar to crying. Maybe people don't actively want to have diarrhea.
Maybe you're right. Maybe some people love getting diarrhea. I don't know. I don't like it, but it's not that much of a problem.
But the real problem here is that like that particular
you argue,
type
also,
of crying.
Also, by the way,
you're talking
you
about
could
the
zero
best
in and say that when you have diarrhea, actually like the expungiating does feel good. Like it's the holding in your
totally
diarrhea
disagree.
That feels bad.
That's crazy. It's not a pleasant sensation, and everyone knows that.
Well, you're talking about more experience with diarrhea than I do.
You're talking about the best case scenario of crying, watching Field of Dreams. That's the absolute like best way that you can end up crying. The reality is that most people end up crying not because they've watched a like tearjerker movie, but rather because they've had some sort of physical or emotional experience that is unpleasant.
I agree. Everybody
Nachos,
obvious, but
potato
the crying
chips.
Itself is what we're talking about. That is an improvement.
You're trying to talk about
helping you get out of the
situation.
You're
the one who's leaning on crying because you know that you've already lost the pretzel argument. Again, let me just get this out quickly. Nachos, potato chips, popcorn, Doritos. That's four right there that are inarguably better than pretzels. And now take your pick of literally any other snack that could be the fifth best, whether that be peanuts or Fritos or whatever kind of snack. There's a million kinds of snacks that are Pringles, whatever.
Doritos
I guess that's a potato
getting
chip.
Cheese all over your hands. Nachos takes too much time to prepare. You yourself on previous debates have argued about how popcorn isn't that good. I agree with you. Pretzels are... Look,
whether it's good or not, it's enormously
popularity
popular.
Is not what we're talking about. Goodness of snackitude is what we're talking about.
We said
and
top five.
Indicated
we
by
said
the
top five, and I would argue
pretzels.
That if you're saying top five, that is some sort of like amalgam of both quality and popularity. Because if you said like, who are the top five, you know, whatever, like what are the top five movies of all time? They're going to be popular movies in addition to being very good movies.
Pretzels,
people have to like them for them to be in the top
pretzels
five.
Cross
that's obvious.
The threshold of people liking them to be in the discussion. Okay.
I'm not saying they're not in the discussion. I'm just saying they're on the wrong side of the top five. I'd say they're first four out or last four, out, whatever it is, like they're on the bubble. Sure. There's only so many snacks if we're going to get down to it. I got to go back to when you said that, like, people actively seek out conditions that would make them cry. That may be true, but people aren't actively trying to cry because it feels good. People want to cry because the emotional, like, experience that goes along with it feels good. Actual crying, you have hot tears coming out of your eyes and rolling down your face. You're usually ill prepared for it. Do you need a tissue or something? Yeah, I'm a freaking mess.
You keep stressing how hot tears are, not like boiling hot. They're kind of a nice hotness. It does feel good. It's a refreshing feeling on your skin. It's your body producing this salty water and rolling it down your face like a moisturizer.
I mean, that is so ridiculous. Moisturizers aren't saline solutions that roll down your face, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason that when people want to cool off, they don't spritz hot, salty water in their faces. They spritz like cool, cold, distilled water. Like that, there's no way that you're actually going to tell me or convince our listeners that, like, it's desirable to have hot, salty water running down your face. Go to any supermarket, look at the snack aisle. The pretzel selection is going to be way less big than the selection for popcorn or potato chips or any of the other snacks we've mentioned. Earlier, you were talking about the huge amount of variety of pretzels. That's really not the case. It's like rods, mini pretzels, big pretzels. That's it.
There's so many flavors.
I'm not overlooking the soft pretzel.
You haven't mentioned it, but that's a specialty pretzel. Because you don't want
to
address
it. It's not that easy to access. When was the last time you had a soft pretzel? They're usually only at, like,
at the ball game.
The ball game, at a fair. Well, you can't just say, like, I'm going to have a soft pretzel when you're sitting at home. But, and I would actually argue that that's one of the reasons why it's not a top five snack, is inaccessibility.
Yes, you've got a soft pretzel, but you can't always have a soft pretzel.
You can always have a potato chip.
As a special treat and as an everyday snack. That's part of what keeps it in the top five. It's both.
Snacks aren't meant to be some sort of adventurous, once in a while, I'm going to have a crazy pretzel. It's just something you want to tide you over until dinner.
Think about how amazing it is that there's a snack that can both be an everyday thing you need and a wonderful special treat that you're excited when you come
across
it.
You know that that's the case with every other snack we're mentioning. You can have your run-of-the-mill Tostitos nachos and salsa, and you can also have the most gourmet nachos in the world that have, like, whatever, any kind of, like, Kobe beef on them with cheese or whatever. I'm sure high-end restaurants, they serve gourmet nachos. It's the same with potato chips. They're incredible variety of, like, your Lay's potato chips to the most delicious and, like, specialty concocted artisan potato chips made with, like, whatever, rosemary and fig jam or some bullshit. I mean, all of these things have high and lowbrow options. It doesn't make the pretzel stand out. Ask our listeners, do you want to cry right now? They're going to say no. Why? Because it doesn't feel good. If crying really felt good, then people would want to cry as much as they possibly could. Things that feel good are things that you do as much as you can. And you don't cry as much as you can because it doesn't feel good. Yeah, I'm done with both of my statements.
Medine's.
Whew. That was great. Very high level difficulty, I think, to jump back and forth.
I'm confused.
Okay. Crying feels good. Hard for me to I didn't get a I didn't get enough of an argument to take me away from the opening statement that Healy made. So I'm going to give him crying feels.
Okay.
Thank you. Cool.
Pretzels are top five snack. I don't think I got a good enough argument from Healy that they are, because I believe that they are.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
But here's the thing. I don't. So I'm giving Dave pretzels our top five snack.
I think that's fair.
Poked enough holes in it.
Yeah. Okay.
The thing is, it's got the best name for a snack out there.
Name.
The name.
First of all,
pretzel.
What about nachos?
No, I don't think nachos are a snack.
Oh,
wow.
Because I can't pull them out of a package and eat them. They're a an appetizer. They're a prepared item,
yeah,
okay?
That's a prepared item.
So that's a thing you could have.
Where am I? I mean, geez.
Snacks are things like goldfish.
Kids, can I get you a snack? Do you want nachos?
No.
No. It's a prepared item, but it counts. A little snack.
Mom!
Nachos aren't a snack. They're prepared.
Something comes in a or maybe an apple. You cut up an apple.
Kids, can I get you a prepared item?
I totally left fruit out of the mix.
Fruit.
I left fruit. I won.
You're lucky you left fruit out of the mix.
I won the debate and I left fruit on the table.
You're lucky you left fruit on the table, bud.
Kettle corn.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's a great smart food. I think is the best snack.
I love smart food so much.
It's
man.
So hard to not eat.
Healy split pot. We each took one.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what you want in a double barreler.
What a fun game.
I wonder if the double barreler should be like, there shouldn't be separate winning. There's one total.
Oh, I don't know.
It's hard. Yeah, it's points
maybe
or something
next
like
time.
That.
I don't know.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Great Debates. I hope you enjoyed the double barrel debate. I hope you're having a great long June. Please write to us at greatdebates69@gmail.com and tweet at us. We're at Great Debates. We'd love to hear from you, as always. And until we do, we'll see you next week on The Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Ethan Edenberg. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the program is moderated by Dan Medina. Yeah.